This is tape one, side two of the August Benson interview. When the tape ended, we were talking about your decision to get out of the service, and you had indicated the difficulty of working with one particular officer at your last assignment, and that helped you come to that decision of it's time to leave.
Moving on.
Moving on. Yeah.
Well, I was 45, and I had counseled a lot of officers who were forced to retire at different points along the line, and the thing is, if you're going to have a second career, the sooner you get started, and the further you are away from 50. And I sort of applied that to myself.
And how was it that you ended up back at MSU?
Well, when I finished my master's at MSU, I had some momentum. I kept on going. And I had a good committee. I had a great person as my advisor, Walter Johnson, who was in the guidance and counseling field, and top-notch person. And I pulled together a committee and what have you. And so I had earned, I think, maybe 18 more credits before I left here to go to Wichita. So I was well on my way as far as the courses are concerned.
For the PhD?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was able to come back here, and I came back in 62 or 64. And then I became a full-time student.
Okay.
And I was and I completed all my coursework, and I had my dissertation. And another chap and I did related. We didn't do the same one, but they were related. And surveyed and interviewed faculty members at all the Big Ten universities, plus a few others like Wayne State and Chicago and Southern Illinois and something like that. And
and what was the focus of your research?
Title mine was a critical incident. Function of the foreign student office or advisor as perceived by knowledgeable faculty members.
Okay.
Faculty members who had foreign students in their classes.
Okay. And at that time, did MSU have a large number of foreign students, or would that come later?
Well, they had a fair number. I had a fair number. And I was getting ready to... I didn't know whether I'd stay and get that dissertation done or take a job. And there were some jobs available. And finally, my advisor sent me over to the international programs area because he knew that they were looking for someone to fill the role of foreign student advisor.
And you had children by then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The in talking about some of the administration after you got your PhD, was it just a natural? Did you continue in the same job or?
Yeah, I was in the job. When I took the job in 64, it took me 5 years to finish my dissertation.
Okay.
Because it was a very, very busy job and a lot of unusual events connected with it, a lot of time-consuming and challenging bits to it. And that part of the reason I took the job, it was something different. Nothing routine about it.
In those early years, what was the? Did you have any contact with President Hanna?
Very little.
Okay.
Very little. Dr. Hanna had early at the end of the war or post-war had offered his services of the university, but also like the Land Grant Association to Harry Truman. When Harry developed that four-point plan. So Hannah was already in there and moving in to this area. And so he set up something that few other universities had at that time, and a lot don't have them yet. That's an Office of International Studies and Programs. That was Glenn Taggart and then Ralph Smuckler were the deans. And the person in charge was the dean at the same level of the deans of the colleges. And then he had a couple of assistant deans, and one of the assistant deans was Homer Higbee, who was in charge of international exchange. Now that involved American students and foreign students and foreign faculty and special projects, a variety of special projects. And so I interviewed for the foreign student job, and they'd had a good number of foreign students, but Homer particularly wanted to reorganize the office to put it in a more professional role rather than grandma or mothering means or of dealing with the students. And Michigan State was going to be and has been greatly involved with sponsors. That's countries like Saudi Arabia, that's Asia Foundation, that's International Institute of Education, all kinds, Turkey, governments that sponsor. The word sponsor is critical because it means they are financially supported. Mm-hmm. And then they can concentrate on their work and also usually go back home, whereas some that are independently sponsored may or may not go home.
So that was the, well, that was the expectation that they would go back.
Yeah,
to
that's the general expectation with a reality awareness that some of them wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Now, I just brought this along because Homer in 1961.
Now, he was your direct supervisor?
Yeah, he was assistant dean for international exchange.
Okay.
And I had the foreign student side and somebody else had the American going abroad. This is the original foundation of the office, but not just of our office. Mm-hmm. That was applied nationwide by foreign student advisors everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he had this project from about a year or two, say 60 to 61 or so, funded by one of the international functions here. And so that was the first effort to evaluate the numbers and kinds of services that were provided to them, and there were some of the results and so forth.
How was Homer Higbee to work for?
Good.
Good.
Good. Yeah, he was, he'd come from Oklahoma because he was a wrestler.
Oh, really?
He'd gotten a scholarship here. Uh-huh. And he was very knowledgeable and very professional. And a good stabilized. Mm-hmm. And interested in promoting, extending or evaluating the programs at various colleges. That it was all, it was kind of a mixture. And we were determined to treat the students first professionally. That's our first goal, was to get the degree. That priority was the degree, mm-hmm. not social life, not all kind of other involvement, not marriage.
Mm-hmm. Were most of these students undergraduates, or were they? Did you find many?
We
graduates?
Had a good percentage of our students were masters.
Masters. Okay.
Were graduate, and in part because these programs that with countries would send young staff members over who had their degree but didn't have graduate work.
Mm-hmm.
So we had many, many graduate students. And many of them had wives and families, so we were not just dealing with the student. We were, some of the more challenging problems we had to do with our families.
Okay. And there, were the families with this, with the students, or
yeah,
okay,
right.
Maybe talk a little bit about Glenn Taggart before he left the university.
Yeah,
did you have much contact with him?
Yeah, I had quite a bit. He was operating on another level. He was not too concerned with the foreign student operation. I think they were all just satisfied that that was taken care of.
I see.
So they were working on programs with other countries, with other colleges of education, mm-hmm. maybe other colleges of business from abroad, and staying, in a sense, staying in the forefront of this whole worldwide educational striving.
The students that came here, were they concentrated in any particular college, like in agriculture, or were they business, or?
There were quite a few in agriculture, mm-hmm. but there was a good spread throughout the campus, because mm-hmm. I would get to know a lot of people, and all they were in all the academic departments,
mm-hmm.
and so we had entree into the department. Something kind of interesting is we worked closely with the immigration office.
Oops, excuse me.
And you're hearing now, immigration and this, the whole context. But starting from the beginning, immigration and the universities have a relationship. Now, the immigration people will authorize the universities, has authorized universities to send out documents so students can get visas. So we've got that agreement with immigration. Now, the universities agree that if something happens, let's say the student doesn't enroll, either he graduates or he drops out or is ill or something, you notify immigration that he's no longer fulfilling his feature of his visa.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a working relationship. It's not a difficult one. One of our big efforts was during orientation to try and get the students and or foreign faculty to recognize these things that they had to do to be in good legal standing, renew their stay permit, or be aware that if they left the country, they had to have a visa to get back in, left the U.S., or went home.
Mm-hmm.
Or in unusual cases, we had some few cases where the student went to Canada. Now, they went over on a rowboat, not a rowboat, but they got over. And they tried to get back in the U.S., and they couldn't get back in the U.S. because they didn't have any papers.
Mm-hmm.
Then they couldn't get back in Canada because they can't ladies didn't want them. So they were caught in between. Well, we would work with the immigration, say, we'll see that they get their proper papers. If you'll agree to accept them, we'll assure you we'll take care of what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Where was the main office that you worked out of for, in terms of immigration that you had to deal with?
Detroit.
The Detroit office?
Okay. And we found them. And we made a special effort to work well with them.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big conference, a national conference in Detroit on one occasion, and we always had a lot of foreign visitors to our meetings, to our conferences. And we had about 200 this time. And we were having a meeting that just involved, a big business meeting, just involving members, NAFTA members. So what are we going to do with all these foreign visitors? Well, we contacted the Hiram Walker.
The brewery, the distillery.
Knowing that they were on tours.
Uh-huh.
And we arranged for two busloads, accompanied by the director of immigration who got us flew into Canada and back in the U.S. after this reception. It was quite a memorable occasion.
Yeah. What were your dealings with Ralph Smuckler after?
We worked with Ralph a lot, and we enjoyed working with him. Mm-hmm. And he was very knowledgeable. And we have a major national organization called NAFSA, National Associate Foreign Student Affairs.
Okay.
They've adjusted that a bit, but that's essentially it. And Homer and I had both served as presidents at different times. Ralph later got involved a little bit. I don't think he ever served as president. But it was the association brought together members. It had 12 regions, like our region with Illinois, Michigan and Wisconsin.
Okay. He was very supportive of foreign students to study on campus?
Yeah, and knowledgeable, too.
Mm-hmm. Did you, a recent initiative has been, well, certainly with President McPherson, to increase the number of MSU students that studied abroad. Were you involved in that in any degree, or was it mostly foreign students who studied here?
No, I was primarily with foreign students.
Okay. Right. What, in terms of some of the, you mentioned some of the problems with families, not talking about any individual, but just in general, was there any thing that really you ended up having spent a lot of time on that you either didn't anticipate or in the 60s did become a problem?
Well, in general, a good number of the families had a limited income.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very good, very fine group of community volunteers, CVIP, Community Volunteers and International Programs. And they ran a number of programs, lending English language for wives, scholarships for wives, and so forth. They did an excellent job. And we were able to come up from time to time to help the families. Now, it was the extreme case. We had some extreme cases. In a period of almost within a month, we had a wife die in childbirth, and a child die in childbirth. And I went out to the funeral of the child. Maybe I did the other one, but they had a little casket like that. Father and mother opened up the casket at the gravesite, mm-hmm. spoke to the child before they interred the mm-hmm. child. I had a terrible accident here just before Christmas in 1967. A student and his wife and child had come in from Peru, and they were with another two students, and another couple, I should say. And both couple had been sponsored by Ford Motor Company. And they had, a family with the child had just arrived, and the other family were taking them over to Myers to buy something, get the apartment set up. And they were in a Volkswagen, and they got hit by a big car on and then the road.
Grand River?
No, over.
No. 196?
No, the one that runs parallel to the campus near the golf course, past the golf course.
Okay, Harrison?
No.
Farther over. 127.
No, it's not running the way Harrison does.
Yeah.
That, it runs across Harrison.
In Saginaw? Uh-huh.
No.
It was one over there.
No, this is
Trobriand. This isn't that.
Anyway.
Jolly.
They were involved in a car accident. Jolly Road. Okay, all right. Jolly Road, and they were involved in a car accident.
A big American car hit that Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call, and I was down at the hospital, and I got in to see where they were working on the child.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how it went. Three people were killed immediately. The child died, and one mother never regained consciousness. And she eventually was shipped back unconscious to Colombia. Now, these were Japanese Colombians, Japanese who settled in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
So there was contact with the Japanese. In fact, one of the Japanese had gone to Japan to get his wife to bring her back to Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was a massive effort in all different dimensions to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that. That was probably the worst. We've had a few of those, like a student hanging himself and mm-hmm. stuff like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But they.
But it sounded like they that you did have a network that was established
yeah.
there that did help in addition to just the university
everybody
administration.
In the community, the police mm-hmm. and the attorney general's office and lawyers and. Mm-hmm. hospitals and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
We were the resource person because it was the foreign student advisor was the one that carried out these responsibilities of the university in terms.
Mm-hmm.
Like a good example was the Iranian crisis.
Okay.
After
the revolution?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or with the revolution where they had our PWs there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, you had people here that they had a they've got that on Trowbridge, the Islamic Center, and they were concerned what might happen to that building.
Uh-huh. All during that
yeah.
time. Yeah.
So we were.
And there were a lot of Iranian students here.
They were the largest yeah. number,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them were married and with family.
Mm-hmm.
They were not the revolutionary types, but there were some activists in the groups.
Mm-hmm. My daughter was born on January 16th, 1981. And she was there during President Reagan's inauguration. And occupying the bed was a group of, or two Iranian students, and they had just had a baby in Sparrow Hospital.
Yeah.
And so we're watching the hostages being released.
Yeah.
And they were there. We didn't have much conversation with them, but but I can remember that. I remember that situation. And, you must have been dealing with that. Where was your office at that time?
In right next door, yeah, the International Center.
International Center.
It opened up just shortly after I took the job.
Uh-huh.
The office was in Student Services. I was in there a couple of weeks, and then moved right into.
So you had a new office where the International Center is
yeah.
now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you been to see the new addition?
No, I haven't, but I know
the whole new floor.
I know the gal that sponsored that,
uh-huh.
and
uh-huh.
her husband, too. I ran into him out in Taiwan and other places like that.
So how many years did you work at that job?
19, that would be.
19 years, you were consistent.
64 to 83.
Uh-huh. During that time, did you have contact with any of the presidents besides John Hanna and Walter Adams?
Yeah, with
President Wharton.
President Wharton, particularly.
I say Walter Adams. I'm sorry.
Yeah, President Wharton, particularly. He came here from the Asian. What was that?
Yeah. He was in Malaysia, I think.
Yeah,
for the
he was with the
Rockefeller Foundation.
Rockefeller, with the Asian branch of the Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they sent, again, they were sending students to us. And, mm-hmm. and
was he supportive of
yeah,
bringing in a lot of international
very
students?
Very much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was the easy sell.
We had a lot of very talented people here because in working with our the Asian African Latin American Studies Center, we're working over there, and they knew a lot of the people that were coming here to advance their degrees.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how much the and don't mean to press you on statistics or anything like that, but did you have any sense of when from the time when you arrived to what degree when you left? Did the numbers increase, decrease?
Yeah, I'd say maybe when I arrived, we might have had about 600. Now, that's a record. When I left, I think we were close to 2,000.
2,000, okay.
The year he was president of NAFSA was the year Saigon.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and the president Nixon was fired.
And Ford was...
Yeah, we had a reception at the Rose Garden in our meeting in Washington.
Mm-hmm. When and President, was, with President Ford?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What we did, a couple of points. When I first took the job, Indians were the largest population.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it varied over the years. We had some big projects in Nigeria. We had some big projects in Turkey. And then Iran, we had a project in Iran, too.
Did you work at all with Dr. Axon?
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And his wife, mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And I've spoken with him about the Nigerian project and some of that exchange. What were some of the situations when the revolution started there? There were quite a few Nigerian students here, weren't there?
Yeah, but it wasn't a revolution in such. It was one of the major provinces.
Okay,
I don't think of it right mm-hmm. now. And so we had two groups of Nigerians here.
Okay.
And we would try to work with them, and did. And that was true of other cases where you had a major, you had the Indian and Pakistani war, or whatever, mm-hmm. and some of the in Nigerian and others. And so we tried at those times, and I think we were reasonably successful to help keep those students afloat, like the Vietnamese students. We had AID, the Agency for International Development, that Dr. McPherson was the director of, had quite a few Vietnamese in the U.S., and when the government fell, under the law that we were funding them, they were no longer eligible. So we had to try and see what we could scrounge locally from departments or part-time jobs, get permission to work on it. Mm-hmm.
Let me check all my notes here. Were you involved in overseas travel in conjunction with your job, or did you do most of it on campus?
I was involved. I was active in NAFSA, as I mentioned. And I went overseas several times, Taipei and Japan. And whenever I went on traveling for them, then I would add on some MSU, because they were paying the major travel. Mm-hmm. And that was actually all State Department money, pretty much. So in the Far East, I got to Japan several times, and I'd been out there before, the Air Force, and Taiwan, and the Philippines, and Hong Kong. So in one direction, I got over Hong Kong, and the other direction, out as far as Saudi Arabia, where in the Gulf there.
What did you see in terms of your experience that the international students brought to campus?
Well, they were in most departments, some more than others, and they were, by and large, they were serious students, and because they were. Maybe their money was tight, or their time was tight. They had 2 years to do such and such, and or they only had enough money to cover so long. So that I feel that most of them were very serious students, with a strong interest in trying to learn something of our culture and of our own student population. When I first took over, we had an international club, but we all had nationality clubs, Pakistani, Indian, Nigerian. This International Club for a few, a number of years, worked real well. And we had great big performances. What? Performances in the auditorium, or, you know. And there was competition for prizes. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hannah and his wife, and bless her heart, she came to a lot of activities when he was gone. Mm-hmm. But that ran into problems because you had, Israel had their map up and the Palestinian students had their map up, you know. And then we got in a situation where Iran had about five different groups of students, and I say students with some hesitation. But pretty soon it got to the point that whoever got himself elected president of the International Club was not interested in promoting the International Club as much as... In fact, we had a... One time we had a former Marine, American Marine, as president of the International Club. Well, I thought myself that was... Well, I couldn't dictate who was being elected or who was running or any of that stuff, but I found that quite unusual. Mm-hmm. because they would turn off others. And mm-hmm.
So the politics and political problems certainly even saw evidence on campus.
We during those times when we had all the